This is Hearts of Oak podcast. Free speech, religious disagreement, children's rights, and open and free discussion on any topic are bedrock to a democratic free society, and we seek to promote and champion these basic rights. Join us. Let's keep the conversation going.
And good evening once again, our lovely Hearts of Oak viewers. Great to have you back with us, and wonderful to have Abby Roberts back with us once again. Abby, thank you for joining us.
Hello, Peter. It's an absolute pleasure to be here with my new camera and my 1940s. Like I'm singing in a jazz band, aren't I? Do-do-do-do-do. It's just one of those mics.
That's the after hours. We'll do a song and dance after. So
yeah, please.
Let me just... I will just make sure that we are live. I see Getter's popped up, so we're live on Getter. Should be on brand new YouTube. And Abby was promising that she would do lives on Getter when she has all her equipment sorted out. And I believe you're now fully equipped.
Fully equipped. With these, you can hear me clearly, you can see me pretty clearly, although I've got slightly damp light because it's so warm in this room. If I had too much light, I'd be like, you'd just be dripping the sweat. But I mean, I'm good to go, basically.
Excellent.
So, yeah,
and that'll be happening. Let me bring up where you can, of course, find Abby, at Abby Roberts, on Getter, not on Twitter, because she said something, which I couldn't narrow it down with Abby because it could be anything she said.
Could be anything at all.
Could be. But so at Abby Roberts on Getter and abbyroberts.substack.com, you can sign up to that and get Abby Daily. Tell us about Abby Daily. Are you running out of things to say each day, or I guess is the world just crazy?
Well, do you know something? It's interesting because when I started it, I was like, why have you called it Abby Daily? Because now people are going to expect every day. the great thing is, though, is that when I know exactly the clues in the name, but then when I started it, I found that it the more you do, you know, every day, then if you don't do it for like one day, I don't know, because something else is happening, it feels weird because you've got in a routine. So what I do, and people really enjoy it, is I have my own theme tune. I'm not joking. Yes. You know how some podcasts are like really flash and they're like, we've got a band, we've got like, you know, we've got some music from you know, the internet, whatever. And literally, it's just me at the beginning going down 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 down, Sweet Home Alabama, where the skies are so blue. And that's it, just Sweet Home Alabama, Alabama. And someone said, "Oh no, keep that." I was like, "Are you joking?" They went, "No, we like it." So it's very grassroots. It's very basic. But the thing they love is that it's me talking about everything, unfiltered, on, you know, personal stuff that's to, and I've built up in about a month, I've built up over 400 subscribers.
Excellent.
So people that, from all, you know, but people, you know, like people who listen to this, who want to hear the truth and don't think they're getting it anywhere else. But it's really amazing. And every Wednesday I read letters that I'm sent from people about 1.5 years. So that's my Wednesday. I call it Your Testimonies Day. And then Friday is Ask Me Anything, Ask Abby Anything. So AAA, not a AAA mortgage, Ask Abby Anything. And so it's going well. Yeah, I mean, you know me, I can talk. I can talk for 40 minutes.
Absolutely, yeah. That sounds good. I see just on the live chat here on Getter, there's Scotty, S-C-O-T-T. Sharon here from North Carolina. Well, if there's anyone from Alabama to fit into Abby's new theme song, do let us know. we'll see who the first one is who's Alabama watching. So, yeah, let us know on the chat.
That'd be great.
Great to have you all from Getter. And Abby can say what she likes on Getter. So let's jump in and see what our first story. It is, as Harry Miller said whenever he was last on, the holy month of pride, and we will celebrate along with every publication. This is Metro, and they've gone all rainbow, not because they like the story of Noah and the Ark, but because they've gone fully trans woke. And this is, it's always good to educate our viewers. What is cisgender? Where does the word come from? And is it offensive? They didn't say, or is it bullshit? But that would be another.
Is it bullshit? Yes, it is.
But here we go. So happy Pride Month. Every June, we celebrate the LGBTQ plus community and highlight issues faced by the community as well as triumphs overcoming them. Gender issues have come to the fore in a number of ways in recent years, and it's important to understand what different terms mean. And this is, unless you label yourself transgender, no, I don't, or non-binary, no, I don't think so, it's likely that you'd be considered cisgender. But what does the word mean? It goes into whole description. So, Abby, do you fit into the transgender or non-binary? Or are you considered cisgender?
Oh, anyone who uses the word, do you know what? No one's ever used the word cis around me, and I'm not surprised because they know what I'd say. I tell them to F off. It's made up. And in this article, they start to say things like cis is a Latin word meaning together with, and it's all just bollocks. It's honestly, people have sat in a room and gone, well, if we do this and say this and say this, yeah, that sounds bad. Let's use some Latin, because then that will sound like we're sort of knowledgeable and it's authentic. And then I think towards the end of this, there's a little sentence where they go, and if you don't call yourselves, if you're straight and you don't call yourselves cisgender, maybe you should have a think about why that is. I was like, no thanks. You know what I mean? How sinister. Have a think about why that is. It's like they're going, yeah, have a little, reflect on your behaviour. You know what I mean? It's all really just awful. And so, oh, God. It's just, I said to someone the other day, I don't engage. If people use the language, like the culture wars people, I just go, why are you playing their game? Mm. Why are you playing their game? Just say man, woman, you know, lesbian, gay, whatever. That's the three sexualities. Yeah. And then everything else is just, you know, what you might feel on the day. You know, happened in the 80s. We've been through all that, where men could, you know, dress in a feminine way. David Bowie, Mark Bolan, you know, with the eyeliner. I mean, we've done all that. You know, we reached a great point, and now people have gone crazy.
They have, and we'll get into that just in a moment in the next story by the great Jordan Peterson. But it was, let me see, there was a great line here. Some people prefer to use the term non-transgender. Or gender normative. I get non-transgender meaning that you've got all the transgender people, all of them, and then you've got a few.
All of them.
However, since both these assume that being trans is not normal, well, that could probably be. But anyway, rather than trans and cis being simply two different but neutral experiences, they can be problematic. It's amazing how people have tied themselves into knots of just...
Yeah,
utter nonsense, whenever it's quite simple and you could explain these things in a normal way. But I guess it's now that everyone is taught to be offended at everything.
Yeah, and that's why, I mean, I said to Andrew Doyle once on Free Speech Nation, I think he was quite shocked, surprise, surprise, because I was the only person that ever been on that said, just don't engage. Just don't, why are you using their language? Because you know what it's like? It's like, you know when people go, when you're a kid and you go, I've got a made up language and everyone has to speak it. And they go, can you explain it? And they say, well, the letters, every other letter is an X. And then other letters, you know, because as you're a kid, you're sort of going, isn't that clever? Because I've got my own secret language. It's like that. And then eventually you grow out of that and you become an adult and you realize that in the real world, people will just look at you if you use that language as if you're mad. So by the way, that's actually an insult to kids, because these people are largely adults that that are pushing this onto children.
No, exactly.
So I mean, I'm just, you know, I'm a woman. Yeah, it's not, I mean, that's the thing as well. What's really in a way upsetting is that because we came so far with the way just people were just relaxed with whoever people wanted to sleep with, whatever. It's now become that people are on tenterhooks. They're walking on eggshells, whereas before it was never like that. So they've taken us back, haven't they? 40 years, 50 years.
Well, before we jump, Jordan Peterson, there's, sorry, I have to mention one or two. Squid55 on Getter says, I'm incontinent. I'm pissgender. That's it. Chris Davis 33 says, I haven't laughed this much since Joe Biden fell off his bike, which I did see.
Oh my God, that's hysterical, that picture of him. And also, he's stationary. He's literally, he comes to a stop, his feet are on the ground, and then he falls over. I mean, and somebody, you know what made me laugh, was someone put the American economy over the top of the picture with him on his arse on the floor.
Oh, don't worry, we're all fine with Biden in charge of the world. Don't worry, what could go wrong?
We love him. Yeah, exactly.
Let's jump. Thank you for the 400 of you watching on Getter. Great to have you with us. I love it the way so many jump on Getter. So I hope that Abby fulfills whatever you expect from listening to her tonight. Let's bring up Jordan Peterson. No pressure. So, this was an absolutely fantastic article, and we've put up on the link some places. We will put up on, I think we put up on our Getter account. If not, my great team can put it up because it is behind a paywall on to the Telegraph. But it is, and he actually on his Jordan Peterson's, I think his YouTube channel, he puts out him reading through it, which is quite fun watching him for 40 minutes reading through this article. But it's until we are sacrificing our children on the altar of a brutal far-left ideology. The medical profession is crumbling in response to radical transgender activists. And it's absolutely brilliant. I encourage all the viewers to go and read it or go and listen to Jordan reading it. But Abby, I love the way you've got someone who is so heavyweight, highly regarded, actually getting involved in this, because you see how divisive and dangerous it is when individuals speak up about what normality is. So it's it was quite exciting to see this, actually, Jordan getting involved so much in this.
Yeah, I love, you know something, I have a huge amount of respect for Jordan Peterson. Not only has he been outspoken on this, he came out and talked about the jabs, the old jabba-jabba Jews, government darts, and said, I made a mistake. So, you know, hats off to him. What a man of great integrity. And with this, he's absolutely on the money. And I love the idea that people can listen to this in his, because he sounds a little bit like Kermit the Frog when he speaks. Sorry, that's a bit more like Bill Gates, actually. Sorry, I just offended Jordan Peterson, who is obviously in a different league to Bill Gates. But it is far left. As I said to someone the other day, the left, we thought they were dormant. We thought they'd kind of like, we'd got rid of Marxism. Essentially, we'd sort of gone, that's not going to work. And people sort of laughed it off, anyone with a brain. Meanwhile, they were repackaging it. They were sort of reformulating even weirder progressive ideas, which is what you see now with this, with what I think is child abuse. You know, little boys or little girls saying, you know, well, I'm going to dress up like this. And, you know, I'm not, I mean, God, do kids say, I don't really feel masculine or feminine? No, of course they don't. That's the adults. I've always said for a couple of years, which has lost me many friends, that this is Munchausen's by proxy. This is parents who are so blinded by this ideology, this, you know, let's just be as progressive as we can. You know, the Californian, I think of it as a sort of Californian mentality where, you know, the hippies, it was great, but I'm afraid what should have stayed in the hippie commune has now spread its tentacles into regarded institutions, you know, respected institutions. So this is adults who, you know, like I said, if you're at a party stoned going, hey, man, wouldn't it be great if you could just, like, you know, like, change your body and, like, you know, whatever. But now it's actually become, you know, it's become a proper agenda, you know, serious. But the fact that it's involving children makes me so angry. I haven't got kids myself, but I'd love to just get hold of some of these people, particularly in America, and to shake them and say, look at what you've done. Look at what you've done, because your son... were you afraid that your son was going to be gay? Well, in which case, that makes you homophobic. Mm. So, you know what I mean? It's like this weird justification, you know? It's very dark. It's very dark stuff.
It is, and it's impressive. Jordan never holds back, but and most people would be criticized or mocked, but he doesn't hold back, but also he is someone who is careful with his words, and he doesn't throw stuff around, and that's why it's so hard-hitting. I mean, there's a line in it that says, for someone purporting to be a physician to perform this on children, to me at least seems like something worthy of a prison sentence. Imagine what the UK would be like if Jordan was actually prime minister.
Wow, oh, I'd love it. It's great that it's plain words. Yeah. The fact that he uses brutal, far left brutality. The fact that he compares it to child sacrifice from various parts of history is absolutely right. And the fact that he says that, strangely, maybe we don't think of children in the right way. And of course, that's linked also to the whole of the last 2.5 years where they were thrown out of the bus, virus, or let's just not put them in, into school, all that kind of stuff. So there's a wider thing about children, I think, and the way that the elites, leftist largely, regard them, look at them.
Exactly. Let's move on to a slightly different topic. This is from 2 days ago, and I think it's from the Telegraph, or it's in the Mail. And the title is Specialist Rape Courts Will Be Set Up to Boost Speed and Quantity of Cases Going to Trial. Rape victims will be able to pre-record video evidence and cross-examination. This is the figure, and this figure has got lower and lower over time. 1.3% of 67,000 rape offences recorded by police lead to prosecution. And the government, something about the governments and ministers are deeply ashamed. At one point, that means the government are claiming that 98.7% of women who say they've been raped are lying. It's impossible, absolutely impossible. So, I mean, what are your thoughts on this?
Oh, this is a really tricky one, because obviously, my real fear with this, especially with is that Dominic Raab?
It is Dominic Raab.
Dominic Raab. I know I see people pictures of him, I get very nervous. What really concerns me is that the state of the law in this country, the judicial system, is so utterly appalling and terrifying, because that it's also been infiltrated by the Common Purpose Brigade. Yep. The sort of like, we'll do this and looking for the right statistics, the right quota, shall we say, of convictions, and I'm afraid very, very vocal feminists have a lot to answer for with this, because what's happened is again the balance is completely out with discussing rape, and here we are. I have to say, if the judicial system was in better shape, then I might be more confident that this was something that was going to do good for people. But, I mean, look at the Johnny Depp. Look at what happened with Johnny Depp and Amber Heard. Yeah. The amount of people that were like, Amber Heard is clearly a sociopath. She's clearly absolutely, I mean, he's got his issues. But it was, I mean, I have to say, I'm not sure if it had been, it was touch and go whether, it may have found her in her favour, shall we say.
Yeah. It's crazy. But you're right, the whole, I'm involved with someone going through the legal process, and it is, you wait 3-4 months, you then have a time in court, and then you wait another 3 or 4 months for then another, and instead of things happening, they could be done all together, but it's just a drawn out process. And it seems to be that the money has been taken away from the legal system. It's not regarded as a priority in the country, and it means that people don't trust the courts. And if you are involved in the courts, it can also cost you everything financially. So the system really doesn't seem to be working properly.
No, it doesn't. And, you know, and I know there's a real cliche, you know, it's like, what are they, what do you call a, what is the old joke? What do you call a lawyer at the bottom of the ocean? A good start. Because lawyers are, I've had plenty of experience with lawyers. Mostly, I'm not talking about all of them, because there are some good, good legal, you know, honest lawyers. Mm. A lot of them, it's about prolonging the, you know, prolonging the case, you know, the money. They talk to each other, even if they're on opposing sides, you know, that's all kind of true. So that, again, the principle at the heart of this institution has been whittled away. Yeah. And that's, of course, the case with all our institutions. But I mean, the law, it's very scary that we're the people that you, you know, you think, oh, that's good, I can turn to them. May not be there for you in the in the right way, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Let's move away to something completely different. Look at immigration. A number of stories this week, yeah? Oh. So and this is Rwanda flight cancelled. Priti Patel criticises European Court of Human Rights as deportations are challenged. She says the government will not be deterred from doing the right thing. Wow, government doing the right thing. And delivering our plans to control our nation's border after the first deportation flight to Rwanda was stopped at the 11th hour on Tuesday. And I understand the plane was there sitting on the airport ready to go, and then suddenly some judge rules. But it's just a shambles. So this is, we'll look at folks coming over, but this whole thing where you can't actually get people out of the country, they can come in easily, but you can't actually get them out.
And also now there's mob rule, isn't there, happening where they were going to deport somebody and a great big mob turned up. I can't remember I can't remember where it was in the country now, but they turned up and then it was overruled by the mob. Now this is really worrying. And also this whole, to be honest with you, this whole Rwanda thing is a smokescreen, is a sort of is a look over there, you know, what do you call it, you know, sort of misdirection, because it's so absurd that we have to, you know, frankly it's 25 years too late anyway, you know, with Tony Blair opened the borders, invited people in so that they'd vote for him, so he'd get in three times. That was a proper, you know, new Labour policy. So now we're in serious trouble, and we have a government who isn't looking at it seriously, but have to say the successive governments have been the same.
Yeah.
They've just gone, oh, well, it's out, you know, at some stage. And I mean, the European Court of European Court of Human Rights. What's ironic about them, you know, set up in developed in the 1940s during the Second World War to prevent, you know, dehumanization of people by their governments. Where have they been for 2.5 years?
Yeah.
Where have those people been? I mean, I read it and I thought the irony that, oh, well, only now they're going, oh, because there's it's because it's the right thing to do, because it looks sort of politically correct. Now we're going to step in. I mean, it's extraordinary. It's absolutely extraordinary that people have been trampled on, and then where were they in their hour of need? So I think this Rwanda thing is a whole. It's somebody. Honestly, I just know what's happened. Someone sat down and gone. Some SPAD or whatever has gone. Oh, I've got a great idea. Why don't we send them to Rwanda? Because, you know, that would be good, and then nobody can criticise us for being racist because it's Rwanda. It's mad.
I thought we had the Ascension Islands or St. Helena or somewhere. There must be somewhere else you could send. That's where Napoleon was in St. Helena. I'm sure it's fine for people to be processed. But my understanding was, and I've read different reports, I've read there were 7 on the flight and I've read there were 3 on the flight. It's a bloody big plane, 200-seater, and they put 3 or 7. I mean, that's the most luxurious travel you can ever get. But then this came out after. So Rwanda deportation, government not ruling out leaving Europeans' human rights framework after last-ditch legal rulings halt the flight. So they said they haven't ruled out leaving. But again, it seems as though that threat has been used so many times. And supposedly, after Brexit, it's something actually we could have come out of and not be overruled by European judges and others. But it seems as though the government kind of make that claim, make that threat. But I don't think Boris would deliver on anything.
No, definitely not. And it just goes to show, actually, that the thing that people feared, the Brexiteers, that they feared was going to happen, has happened, which is that essentially we are still part of this weird sort of leftist European Union guided ideology, but it's sort of more than that. It's like a mindset, and that's where we find ourselves where we are. I think it's just absurd that in that people can't see the logic of countries having borders or boundaries. I mean, human beings have boundaries in relationships which make things run smoothly. So why can't countries? Why can't people see that the country should also have boundaries and also not have if you don't have a main culture and you have lots of cultures competing, that's never going to end well. And it hasn't ended well in history, as we know, with the fall of Rome.
Exactly.
And people took over. So
let's, I see that, sorry, jumping over, Chris Davis. So thank you to the 1,100 watching on Getter. Good to have you. There's Chris. So Chris Davis says, I've got an idea. Why not just send them back to France? Well, that's true. France was the last European country they were in. So you send them back to France. So we should just airdrop them? Like paratroopers? Just drop them in.
Bye-bye. Salut. yes, exactly. It's like that France is a safe place.
Yeah.
Last time I looked. It's in, you know, I mean, they're meant to be proud of their, surely proud of their, you know, the fact that they're in the European Union. So you would have thought that they'd go, okay, then we'll, you know, we'll keep them. The fact that also we don't have a better immigration system, you know, in like, I mean, aren't there buildings that were meant to be used for processing documents that are kind of like later, sort of just like not used? It's like, if someone just literally wanted to do it, they could do it in an organized way. But unfortunately, like I said, 20 years of this with people going, let's look in the other direction so we're not called a racist, is where we are now. So I have to say, we have to blame the lily-livered liberals if there's a terrible calamity happens, because we've been squashed. Our culture's been squashed.
Absolutely. And I was shocked to see that actually going driving around Heathrow area where they have used hotels as immigration processing centers. But they're all, I mean, you'd think when someone illegally enters your country or breaks into your house that they would be held until they're tried and then punished for that. But these people are allowed to actually wander free. So they're not actually held. They're actually free to, even though they're in the country illegally, the government knows they're in the country illegally, even though they're supposedly being processed, they're actually not held, contained, but they're free to go anywhere they like.
Yeah. And I mean, these people, let's be honest, most of all men, oh, I wonder why that is. They've left the women and the children in the terrible conditions. They have got that far. Do you honestly think that when they get to that nice hotel, they're going to go, oh, we better stay here because, you know, we haven't crossed the channel in terrifying conditions, you know. And the other thing I was going to say is, what happened to, why on earth can we not be like America used to be, where people pledge allegiance to the flag?
Yeah.
So the Union flag, with its cultural identity, and you can practice whatever faith you want because that's the tolerant, you know, that's the tolerant country we are. But on the understanding that you pledge allegiance to it, to the country. I genuinely don't see what's wrong with that. People seem to love it with America, so why can't we do it? You know,
absolutely, it certainly tries.
let's give it a go. See how that works out.
So the boat people coming over. This was when was this? This is the 50th. It was 3 days ago. There have been different stories in the last. They seem to keep wanting to break the record, the migrant boat record. So around 400 migrants arrive in Dover this 15th after crossing the channel in small boats just hours before first flight to Rwanda. 130 people made the perilous journey across the English Channel in three boats. The mostly male arrivals, as you said, could be seen led along the gangway in Dover. So we compare it. So 400 come in one day, and the government try and put seven on a plane and none of them actually make it out. So if you work those numbers, we're getting a lot more in than are actually ever going to get out. So why wouldn't these people come? I mean, you're not going to be punished. You're not going to be kicked out. So no, it's a win-win.
It's just absolutely absurd. I mean, this is literally, and people that say, but you're being so unfair and, you know, and is it because they come from certain countries? I don't give a damn
where France.
People come from. Yeah, from France, exactly. But I mean, I don't care as in what their, you know, their skin color is, their makeup, as long as they come in legally and they are prepared to abide by our laws, our court, you know, like all the things which people, when they go to America, they used to have to do before America shit the bed over all this stuff. As you said, to me, this whole Rwanda thing is a bit like, you know, my dog ate my hot homework. So somebody's gone, well, I'll tell you what, just think of a country, A, B, C, D. Someone's gone, Rwanda. I saw Gorillas in the Mist. Great film. Let's just say that. And then just hope, someone's gone, let's hope that nobody questions it. Because it's so bizarre. And what they're doing is they're kicking it into the, the old cliche, political cliche, kicking it into the long grass. Oh, I hate those phrases. You know, kicking it. Well, bloody get it out of the long grass. Yeah. Because I tell you what, there's going to be millions of people in this country who've lived here from whatever backgrounds and their lives are going to be destroyed because of lily-livered idiots in charge.
And if only as I always say in these issues, if only I could blame a Labour government, but actually this is happening under a so-called Conservative government.
I mean, David Cameron, and I mean, let's not forget the Clegg and Cameron dreadful sort of
bromance.
It was just awful. And they're all part of the same leftist, you know, third way socialist, Tony Blair, Frankfurt School, you know, all that stuff, which I try and explain to people who are the old school Labour who don't really understand all that. They're like, oh, but what about the unions and what about the working class? And I'm like, I've got news for you. The Labour Party has not thought about the working class for I don't know how long. I mean, probably since the 40s, properly.
Well, that's because the transgender vote's now so big. So
yeah,
with the majority being transgender, I mean, you only need to focus on that.
Yeah, they don't know what a woman is. So that's why they haven't had a female leader at the Labour Party. They wouldn't know what one was. They'd be like, are you? I don't know. And can you imagine? Someone suggested Angela Rayner the other day. Oh, can you imagine? Hello, everybody. My name's Angela Rayner. I'm Prime Minister of the... I mean, it would be like Biden and Rayner. Oh, what a match made in heaven that would be.
It does sound like a spitting image sketch, but it could be coming to this country. And you think, wow.
It could be bloody coming. Wow. Oh, Biden dribbling and then Angela going, should we do some karaoke? Oh, that's what where we are.
I mean, what does it mean for you and comedy? Because I remember, I think some of the writers of Spitting Image saying, actually, before the new one supposedly came out, but they said it would actually be very difficult to do comedy now because it's so crazy. It's just it's what the reality that is happening is so crazy that actually
you can't make fun of it.
Yeah, you can't go any further than it because. Yeah. So, what does that mean for you in comedy?
For comedy, well, I mean, I did Comedy Unleashed a couple of weeks ago. At the backyard, Andrew Doyle's night. And that was interesting to see, you know, because it's interesting, the shift in comedy, you know, this has happened, by the way, before 2020. Mm. It was going in that woke direction from about 2008, 2009, I think it was maybe a bit later than that, where Nika Burns, who runs the Edinburgh Fringe Awards, said, she actually said, I welcome the new woke comedians or whatever.
Yeah.
And what essentially that meant was I welcome comedy not being funny anymore.
Yeah.
Because then you had people like Hannah Gadsby doing a lecture about things that, and literally you can see the audience, it's quite funny actually, even though she won awards, you can see the audience going, like, should we laugh? I don't know. Where's the cue? Isn't there usually like, aren't you usually meant to be going at a comedy thing? So that's what's happened. Comedy has become moralizing. And all my heroes, American comics, Joan Rivers, Richard Pryor, Bill Hicks, all those guys, you know, George Carlin, all those Sam Kinison, they never moralized.
Yeah.
They were there giving their worldview. People laughed. People got offended. Some of them. People had a good time. People were, you know, whatever. And that's comedy. It has to be, it has to let the air out of the pressure out of the tire, not increase it. At the moment, unfortunately, we've got comedians who, I think I've said before to you, just have got no bollocks.
Yeah.
Because they're, but I don't really know why. Because why are they towing this? It's a very short term view, yeah, isn't it? Because imagine when everyone goes, you see, we told you it was bollocks. All the comedians who agreed with it all and pushed it all will just go, oh, and then have to go into hiding.
Yeah,
have to retire or start playing golf or something.
There was another part of
the last story. No,
I just want to ask you because it's. It is
bizarre.
When the material is there for everyone to see, it's blame. So it's weird. Yeah. But let's this was actually a follow-on story that, again, the government claiming they're trying to do something, but I don't think there are. So people arriving in the UK in small boats to be electronically tagged. And you think, this is makes sense. We should try a digital ID card on everyone coming over. Mm. And they said, rights campaigners say appalling pilot scheme, I don't know what, treats those fleeing conflict and persecution criminals. Well, they are criminals because they came in illegally. If they wanted to come in legally, they could buy a plane ticket like everyone else has to do. But they, so refugee campaigners described the new Homes Office tag system as appalling. Under a 12-month pilot, which began on Wednesday, some people arriving in the UK in small boats or in the back of lorries will be electronically tagged. I thought, when I saw the headline, I thought, brilliant, they're going to tag people. But no, they're going to tag the old person who's coming in. Either you tag them all, and then obviously you either, if you're not going to lock them up in a jail until they're processed, then you tag them and you can track them. To me, it makes sense. But again, you read down the and the details are very different than the headline grabber.
Yeah. This is what's called what was it? You know, when the horse is bolted, you close the stable door when the horse is already bolted. In this case, the horse has gone to the knacker's yard. Yep. He's been already made into burgers. Sorry to be dark about it, but I mean, you know, the horse is well and truly. I've run out of metaphor, run out of an analogy for it. This is just somebody saying, we've just got to avoid the phrase sending people back to the safe country they've come from and blaming the years of just open borders has led to this situation, and we're very sorry, and now I'm afraid we're going to get tough. We're going to become like Australia, not as in the way Australia treated COVID, but the way Australia has treated their you know, immigration system. You know, we could look to their Australia and America, not for the, I mean, aside from the COVID, I'm talking about immigration policy. It's just ridiculous that people are so, what are people afraid of, for God's sake? Everyone wants to live, don't they, in a lovely, in a sort of harmonious, functioning, fair society. But that does include strict immigration policy.
Mm.
Because, like you said, people will just come, will swim in and go, well, we'll just go over there. We'll just, you know, scrounge off the NHS. No one will notice, you know. Meanwhile, some poor person that needs an operation can't get in. I would have thought that would be a right up the left street, because it's collective responsibility.
Exactly.
For a whole country. So
let's move on to, we've only got one COVID story, and this is where it's all going. This just caught my eye because it's been published everywhere. This caught my eye. The Herald Sun is a conservative newspaper in, I think, Melbourne, possibly, in Aussie. And their tweet said, the US has approved a COVID vaccine for its youngest age group yet to receive experimental shots. I'll read that again. Yet to receive experimental shots, in a decision expected to be followed worldwide. Obviously, you watch Sky News Australia, and it's bang on the money. I don't know whether, again, we don't have anything like that in the UK, apart from GB News at some presenters. But it was great to see a newspaper calling out these as experimental shots.
Mm. Yeah, exactly. Calling them out and saying to the world, I mean, it's just extraordinary that everyone knows now that what they are. Well, they should do it. If they don't, they can bloody well read it. They can read Robert Malone, who will tell you what they are. And the fact that they're you know going to be giving them to under fives, again we say we're back to the Jordan Peterson's point that we can link the two together. It is an abomination. Yep. Stop for start. Forget the adults. That's also an abomination in my view. That they've thrust this global experiment on people, but for children who've got their whole lives ahead of them, little tiny children who've got no way of saying no thanks, I don't want it. It is, I'm afraid prison sentences for all of them, everyone involved, all the people that pushed it, all the people that got paid to push it. I'm very concerned about vaccine harms and people who've died from the vaccine, because I'm compassionate and I wouldn't be human if I didn't care. But as long as it goes in tandem with get them on trial, people that have done this, Pfizer, Moderna, you know, all of them. And people must know. That's the other thing as well. People who push the Hancocks and in Australia and America who pushed these, they knew they were mRNA. I was going to say vaccines, they're not vaccines, but they knew that. Yeah, clot shots. They knew that. So let's get it out of our heads that this was like people going, yeah, these are really great. So, you know, blah, blah, blah. They knew it was a risk, a high risk. It was experimental, emergency use, experimental, and it still happened. And that is the don't forget Pfizer have been guilty of this with swine flu, the swine flu jab. In fact, I know someone at GB News who had the swine flu jab and has now got lupus, and they still had the three vaccinations. Still. And I just went, I've got nothing to say. Really, what can I add?
No.
So anyway, that was a bit of a jab rant. But I mean, I don't know how I can be clearer. This is a crime. It's a global crime.
But again, if these had gone through their 10, 12 years, then that would be acceptable. Mm-hmm. It's a brand new type of vaccine.
Of course.
But again, and if there was evidence that children were at risk of COVID, again, you could have that. But they're not at risk, and it's still in its testing, experimental infancy. Trial phase.
Yes.
So how could they even consider?
Because they're monsters. People have to use the right terminology. You know, I see a lot of, on Twitter and sometimes a bit on GB News where, lovely James Dellingpole, I don't know if you saw him, he was on Michelle Dewberry.
Oh, was he?
Yeah, and it was really interesting. But you know what? With Peter, what's his name? The Labour, I think he was an ex-Labour advisor, and another woman called Joanne, is it Joanne Williams? Who was just, what's interesting is James was given the least amount of time to speak, even though he knows by far the most stuff, and he's spoken to all the bigs and researched it, and it was really interesting. There was a lot of, and do you know what's weird at the end of it, during it, Michelle still said, but you know, as we know, they are safe and effective. I was like,
what?
I just can't, I can't bear it. I just literally, there's got to be a point now where, and I don't know if people watching agree, there has to be a pause, at least a pause, if not a full a stop, as Malone has called for, and I think someone else as well called for it, because because if not, there's going to be even more blood on people's hands. Yep. There's enough blood as it is. So, and the media have a duty. They have a duty to say, okay, guys, you know, and okay, people are going to have to do a bit of a shrug and say, oh, blimey, I was really wrong about this, et cetera, et cetera. But I'm afraid, tough shit, tough shit, you know?
Yeah.
That's, that dems the brakes, as they say.
It's crazy. It makes you think that probably GB News are scared of Ofcom more than anything else, which in the UK is our communications regulatory body.
Yes.
That you can say what you like, apart from you cannot cross the line on criticizing the government's COVID policy, because then you'd be an anti-vaxxer and be investigated. So I bet you they're given guidelines, are not even able to criticize.
Although Well, why don't the guidelines apply to Mark Stein then? Because he says a lot of stuff and it's been sort of, you know, and also Ofcom, you know, they do have, I think I said this maybe before, I can't remember, they have a section in their policy, in their, what do you call, guidelines, which is it's health and wealth. And in that part of their guidelines, it says that any presenting stuff about medicine has to mention the risks. Now, whether Ofcom suspended that part, because it's very detailed. I mean, it's literally, say I wanted to like say, oh, marijuana's, you know, marijuana's great, you know, blah, 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 honestly, thing, I'd have to say, but it can also cause, you know, whatever, psychosis, or, you know, there've been some research into it, et cetera. That is the rule. That is the Ofcom rules. So my question is, when did Ofcom stop that part of their process that said people had to, presenters had to say, we must tell you that there is a slight whatever risk? And I'll tell you why that happened is because they didn't know it was mRNA. They just thought, oh, we'll trust people. Yeah, it must be because, you know, people of Pfizer have said it's okay. So let's just go with it. I mean, honestly, the is it abdication of responsibility is just off the charts, off the fucking. I mean, we're too, excuse me for swearing. Sorry, everyone in America. I love how Americans go,
don't worry, you've lasted 45 minutes. You're fine.
He's just really happy. But it's so funny when they go, my God, you know, I find you really, really funny, but you do curse quite a lot. I'm like, because sometimes, you know, you run out of words that are appropriate for the last 2.5 years and only swear words, you know, will be. So I think, to be honest with you, if it was like, say, 6 months ago, I might say, well, the media, maybe they're hedging their bets, thinking we need to do a bit more looking into this. It's 2.5 years.
Yeah.
We know the vaccine's causing. We know what the vaccine's causing stuff. It is our moral duty, everyone, to say, this is happening. This has happened. Stop them.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know how many times I can say that. I mean, obviously, I said it on Twitter, and that's why I was thrown off. And I'm now Kathy Grunt.
Well, you could have said stuff about Ukraine as well. So let's jump on to that. Yeah. Jump on. And again, we celebrate the Holy Month of Pride up there with Metro. I don't know if it's 50 years of people being gay or 50 years of being trans. I don't know where 50% of the population are now LGBT. I don't know what the 50 is. But anyway, I'm sure someone will educate me. This is Tory MPs furious at Boris for ditching red wall talks for another trip to Kiev. And there is Boris. I don't know whether he's meeting his handler or I don't know which way around, but Tory MPs have accused Boris of snubbing the North. The Prime Minister was reportedly travelling up on a train to Doncaster yesterday morning when he decided to travel to Ukraine instead.
As you do.
And of course, there's a by-election coming up here in the UK. Someone was watching tractor porn. So, yes, there is that in the UK. and they're going to elect a new MP. So instead of Boris going up and helping those who are trying to chip away at Labour, he goes to Ukraine. It doesn't make any sense for a politician.
Well, actually, you know what? In a strange way, it does make sense knowing Boris, because I tell you what's happening. He's thinking there is not a cat's chance in hell. I will, the optics will be good. I mean, the people will look at me in a different way unless I keep pushing this. We're with Ukraine. It's kind of like, even though Margaret Thatcher did it for very, very different reasons, the Falklands, because I mean, that was actually, you know, a necessity to get them back from Argentina. He thinks this is the Falklands moment, but I mean on a grander scale. What he doesn't realize is that now that people can investigate and do their own reading, etc., most people are wise to it, what's going on in Ukraine, and the corruption and the American bio labs and the fact that Putin, for my money, even though I have actually, God, someone said to me, are you sure you're not a Russian spy? I'm like, I think you'd probably know if I was. But anyway, I've got better things to do with my time. And that someone said, I remember at the beginning of this, oh yeah, Putin is definitely, he's going to probably go into Poland and Czechoslovakia and basically do a Hitler. And I think it should be obvious to people now that a lot of this is internal conflict in Ukraine, in certain regions that are have their allegiance to Moscow, and that Putin is simply trying to kind of put out the flames, as it were, and stop the West going so far that they've got tanks on his border, because all they've got to do is go over the Dnieper River, which runs down the middle of Ukraine, and that's it. That's literally German and American tanks will be on the Russian border. So it's not only Putin. I mean, Putin is obviously a dangerous man. I mean, he was he's ex-KGB. So I'm not sort of saying, you know, oh, he's lovely and cuddly and all the rest of it. But there is method in his madness. There is a reason why he's suddenly gone, oh my God. And Zelensky is definitely not to be... I mean, you know, on GB News, I can't remember, was it Amanda Platel? I remember when it started, she came on and took off her coat in a kind of like, thought it was a bit sexy, and she kind of went, dear, 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 like this, and stripped off. And it was a Zelensky T-shirt, and I went like this, I went, ooh, a bit of sick came up, because I thought, what the hell is this? It's bizarre. Anyway, but have you noticed Ukraine flags are being taken down now? A lot of people are like, quick, let's hope that nobody saw that I was, I mean, again, total brainwashing, total groupthink. We've gone from COVID to climate change and then, oh, Ukraine. It was weird. It's like nobody appreciates critical thinking anymore.
Yeah.
You know, I was even told by a person I know who's Russian, you know, well, you would say that because you're probably, you know, a Putin lover. I was like, no, I'm really not. Trust me, I've been there. I've been followed when I was doing comedy in Moscow. Definitely was being, sort of like me and my husband being followed. So I am under no illusion about the kind of country that Russia is under Putin. Thank you very much, you patronising bastards. You ever say that to me?
Here, K Tooney says at least Putin can ride a bike. So there you go.
He certainly can. Yes. Even if it is powered by polonium.
Yes.
The bike.
Right. Last story. Again, something quite different on Julian Assange. This is family of Julian Assange vowed to fight UK extradition order to US. Priti Patel has decided that the UK government will be extraditing him back. Mm. And Friday, the UK government ordered the extradition of him to the US. He has 14 days to appeal. I thought he had gone through the appeals process.
Yeah.
But it's amazing how the UK government can get someone out of the country, but they can't get the 400 that come in every day.
Yeah, exactly. Extraordinary. And again, the human rights, freedom of speech, anyone? Whatever your views are on the things he shared on WikiLeaks, I mean, I have to say, and with hindsight, you know, with Iraq and Afghanistan, my God, he did us all a favor, surely. He was doing his kind of journalistic duty, and frankly, the American court system as it is now, under Biden and under the Democrats, I would be terrified. Utterly terrified. Maybe a few years back, I might have thought, "Well, it's America. You know, their justice system will. I might be. What's the word? I'm going to a place that respects the law. Not anymore. I would be. I'd be like, shit. I'm going to go to America. But I mean, that means that they're gonna find any excuse. I mean, look at what happened with Sweden. You know, that trumped up thing about it's because he hadn't used a condom or something in a perfectly consensual, night with somebody. It's like, are you joking? This is purely finding things to get him. I mean, that's obvious to me. I don't know it's obvious to, whether it isn't obvious to everyone else. And I mean, the fact that they're, like you said, spending more time worrying about sending Julian Assange back to America for, frankly, doing everyone a favor with freedom of information, you know, revealing information. It tells you everything you need to know about where the world is, you know, especially with free speech. You know,
I guess this is should strike fear into any journalists in the UK, that if another government complains of the story you put out and makes allegations, which against Julian Assange, it's espionage charges, that actually then you can be deported to wherever in the world. And I guess journalistic freedom has now disappeared in the UK on this case.
Well, with the freedom of you know, the online harms bill and all that's gathering pace, even though many of us were warning months ago, oh my God. And Nadine Dorries, honestly, she thinks John Stuart Mill plays for Liverpool. She's that fucking stupid, that woman. Sorry, I've had to use the F word again. And any Americans that don't know, well, look up John Stuart Mill, I'm sure. Can I quickly plug my computer in before it runs out?
Of course you can. She forgot to plug her computer in. She's talked far too long for a computer.
Okay, that's it. Sorry, I just suddenly saw it because it was right up to the full. And I was like, I'm going to be saying something that we go, just like go dark.
Next time, can people please put comments to ask Abby as she charged her computer up or plugged it in? So next time, as prompter.
Prompt me. That's the one plug I didn't have in. Literally, you should see this. It's like literally like a what do you call it? Cockpit with all the different buttons and everything. So we're in trouble because the people in charge of our freedom of speech and our things that should be first principles. I said to someone the other day, they went, "Well, how can we get out of this?" And I said, "Go back to first principles. That's what you need to do. You need to read the John Stuart Mills of this world and make a list of all the things that we have to go back to, even if we don't have a constitution, almost like a sort of mission statement, you know, where we say this is a charter, as it were, and then we may be okay. But if we don't understand what the principles are, we haven't got a catch chance in hell, everyone down. But that's, you know, the way it is.
Absolutely. Let's just actually, we'll finish off on a story we mentioned just before we went live, and I just wanted to mention it. I don't know whether there's a lot to say about it, but we'll put it up anyway to let our US audience, of which there are 2,500 watching on Getter, so from, all parts of the world. So those of you from the US, great to have you. But I believe the UK is the third biggest market on Getter, so you could be from anywhere. But this story is male blood donor 66 turned away for refusing to answer pregnancy question. Proud Scot Leslie Sinclair has given 125 pints of blood over nearly 50 years and cannot understand why he must answer a stupid and impossible question. And every blood donor in Scotland, no matter whether they are male or female, must now say whether they are pregnant under the new rules. It's the mandatory question has been introduced because the Scottish National Blood Transfusion Service said sex assigned at birth is not always visually clear to staff. He didn't want to answer the question because he said it was stupid, so he couldn't give blood. So, what do you say? You're a bloke, but no, it could have been a lady, and
love that. And also, this thing, the sex assigned at birth. Nothing is assigned at birth. You're born male or female. You're not assigned anything. Yep. It's this ridiculous language. It's kind of like, as Jordan Peterson would say, this sort of Marxist sort of nonsense, you know, progressive nonsense. I just, poor man going to give his blood. And bless him, because he's done everyone a favour. I mean, he's living in Scotland, though, isn't he? Which is, I mean, let's be honest, I mean, it is the proper Maoist, under Chairman Mao, Nicola Sturgeon. But it's it the more people that call these things out, the more, you know, if you more people ridicule it, then I'm hoping the more changes there will be. Although it is worrying that it seems to be in institutions like the NHS and these you know, places like this, anything to do with medical stuff, they've fallen hook, line, and sinker for it. And that worries me, that these are people who are medical, they're doctors, who surely know it's all nonsense, But yeah. they're you know, it's like, oh yeah, we must obey the I don't know what you call it, the woke sort of doctrine.
Exactly.
You know, the trans slash, I don't even know what it is. It's just this clown world thing. And so more people within those institutions, not just us, people like us, because we're on the outside sort of going,
yep.
You know, in, people inside just growing cojones and thinking, I'm doing this for the greater good. And yeah, usually yeah. I'd be worried about that phrase, but not in this case. There's, yeah, we need some people to grow some bollocks, please.
Absolutely. And it's great to have people who don't just do what they're told, who say, what do you mean? And question things. And because of that, we get a story and we realize how crazy they are up in Scotland. So, well, they probably coming to us soon down south of the border. So
they will. Yeah. They'll be coming. It'll be like Californians going to Mexico. Lots of Californians are just in droves going to Mexico. And someone said, isn't that ironic? I think it was Tucker Carlson what I've said, you know, in the history of America, it's now the other way around. That's how bad it's got, guys. So, I think we will have the Scots, you know, coming over the border, and they'll be very welcome, as long as they're not, you know, pushing this woke shit.
Exactly. Fine. Well, on that 66 men being pregnant, I think we will leave our viewers. You can at Abby Roberts on Getter and at abbyroberts.substack.com. Go, and if you sign
Thank
up,
you.
You can get that daily email where she will give you her wisdom. And what more do you need than Abby's wisdom each and every day to help you on the road of
each and every day? Yes. And my little theme tune at the beginning.
Absolutely. But Abby, thank you as always for coming on. Great to have you, and great to chat. And you only swore twice, so well done.
Thank you very much. You should have a little swear jar for just for me. Put some money in. Fantastic. It's been lovely to chat to you, Peter.
Great. And just one thing, I wanted to our guests, Abby and I did a roundtable chat with Matt Letizier, and he on Sunday evening 9 p.m. he is on with Pat Cash, the tennis legend Pat Cash, who's been very vocal about the COVID tyranny. So that's Matt Letizier live at 9 p.m. on Sunday, which is 4 p.m. Eastern time, 1 p.m. On the West Coast, Pacific time. So yeah, tune in for Matt Letizier, 9 p.m. when discussing what is happening, the chaos with Pat Cash. And I think for us, we are, I think Monday, fingers crossed, Steve Bannon should be with us on Monday. He was going to be with us on Thursday, but he was in court for some crazy. So he didn't join us, but he should be with us live on Monday at 7 p.m. So tune in for that. If he doesn't make it, we'll be here with something else. But fingers crossed that Steve does join us for that. So I wish you all a wonderful rest of your weekend. Enjoy your Sunday tomorrow. And we'll see you on Monday with Steve Bannon. So thank you very much and good night.
Good night, everybody.
If you like what we do, sign up to our mailing list. Donate, share, and subscribe to our many platforms at heartsofoak.org. Thank you for listening.